talking with the experts.
Carol, what are some tips for balancing that automation so that we get the most authentic lead generation that we possibly can get?
So for me, it's really important that you know your audience. I think that's the biggest thing that people sort of like get wrong, because you know that saying, oh, I can sell to anyone. Oh, I can coach anyone. Oh, my service works for anyone. Well, if you sell to everyone, you sell to no one. So for me, it's really about honing in on one specific group. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to ignore everybody else. Of course not. It just means that for this season or these bits of ads that we are testing, we're going to show them to one specific group of people. So with that in mind, when you create your ad copy, it's with that person in mind. When you create your landing pages, it's with them in mind. Email sequence, them in mind. It has to be very personalized.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. Here we discuss all things business by business owners for business owners. Here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com.au. Talking with the Experts is all about business by business owners for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And today it's my very great pleasure to introduce you to Carol Cabali, who's going to be discussing with us all things purpose-driven Facebook ad strategies for coaches and entrepreneurs. Now, she's going to hit on the topics of how to create Facebook ads that attract high quality leads, the top metrics to track for scaling ad campaigns successfully, and tips for balancing automation with authenticity in lead generation. Now, a little bit about Carol. She is a Meta certified ad strategist dedicated to helping coaches and entrepreneurs scale their business through purpose-driven Facebook ad campaigns. With over 8 years of experience in digital marketing, Carol specializes in creating high-converting strategies that attract quality leads and delivers measurable results. Her passion lies in empowering entrepreneurs to achieve growth without burnout by leveraging the power of automation and authentic connection. Having transitioned from corporate hospitality to building her thriving digital agency, Carol understands the challenges of balancing ambition with life's priorities. And her mission is to simplify the complexities of Facebook advertising, helping business owners align their marketing strategies with their values. Welcome, Carol, and I can't wait to hear what you're going to share with us today.
Well, thank you, Rose. I'm so excited to be here. I almost like, after that intro, I was like, was that all me? That was great. I loved it.
Tell me why you went from, you know, doing corporate hospitality to doing digital marketing. How did you transition from that and why?
So very long story short, I loved what I was doing working in corporate. I worked in business development for hospitality group. And I really enjoyed the people. The people were great. But I just hated the actual job. I was living past everyone. When everybody was on vacation, I was at work. Long hours, as you know, working in like a hotel because you go to sleep when the guests go to sleep or when the function is finished or when the group is done. So it was very taxing. So I knew I needed something else. And by design, my boyfriend at the time, we had dated for 9 years, finally proposed. I always make the joke, Rose, that he was looking for my blood type. So I finally gave it to him and he was like, okay, great, I can marry you now. And in that moment, I just knew that I wanted to live a life of purpose with him. I wanted to build with him. And for that to happen, I needed something else. And I started looking around and I did another certification in advertising, but I didn't quite like, it was more like social media based and I didn't quite like that. I liked the data that came with the ads, and that's where I doubled down. And, you know, that's 8 years ago and the rest is history, I guess.
Well, it's quite a transition, but you've got to love what you do, that's for sure. And yes, I've worked in hospitality and you're right, you know, when everyone else is sleeping, it's when you sleep. And you know, sometimes it is quite taxing to be in the hospitality industry, and I don't envy anyone who is in that area because it is quite a challenge.
Yeah,
So
they
tell me
work
how.
really hard.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they absolutely do. And they don't get the rewards that they should get, I don't believe. But anyway, we won't go into that. Create Facebook ads that are highly high, that attract these high quality leads and convert them into paying clients. Because I know myself that I have created ads. To me, they've been magnificent ads, but they're obviously not attracting the right type of audience.
Okay. So when I first start with someone to run ads, I always like to get crystal clear what is the objective, right? So was the objective to gather more emails and grow an email list? Was the objective to start a conversation? Was it to just get more awareness, or was it for sales? So once you know what objective you're looking for, it's easier sort of to manage your expectations. Often as business owners, and I'm not saying this is what happened to you, but often as business owners, we just expect every single ad to deliver sales. But every single ad doesn't and shouldn't have that function, right? So, for example, if you're just trying to get more engagement, you'd want ads where people could comment, like, share, or start conversations with you where you could segment them and then sell them, right? So that's like kind of at the top of the funnel where you'd kind of want to be. Then the second type of ad I always say, and this is my favorite, is lead generation kind of ads. So you give me something, I give you something. Usually it's an exchange for an email or form of contacting that person. That's my favorite type of ad to run because it means you're not dependent on socials. So you're building your ecosystems outside of social media, and that can be so powerful because you're creating a community or you're creating an email list, and all these people you can sell to at your own time, regardless of what happens. 4 years ago, I was actually hacked and I lost my whole personal Facebook. It's actually funny enough, the Facebook where I met my husband on has all our wedding photos. It has like our whole life on it, and it was gone. It's also where I started building my business. And in that moment, I truly realized that you are building on borrowed ground. None of these
Absolutely. Yeah.
platforms, right? None of these platforms are ours. So it's so important to have community outside of it. And that's one thing I really advocate for all my clients. Let's get that email list. This is the year you're actually going to grow it. This is the year we're going to grow a community outside of socials. And lastly is sales. Now, sales is a little bit tricky because for me, I personally would not run any type of direct sale ads or even a book a call ad unless you've done a form of the first or the second campaign. The reason for that is because you want to stay top of mind. I always use the analogy that you're never going to go up to a stranger at a bar and be like, "Hey, you look great. Let's get married." I mean, you could, don't get me wrong. You probably could, but that person's likely to say, "No, I don't know you. Go away."
Yeah, absolutely.
Same thing with running a direct sales ads. It's very likely you're going to throw money at this thing and see very little results, get frustrated, and say ads don't work.
Yeah, I agree with all the things that you've said, and you're right, the real estate that we use on social media certainly doesn't belong to us, and the only way to own anything is through email marketing or e your email list, and because you own that, doesn't matter what platform you have your email list on. You can always transfer to different platforms, but that list is yours. So yeah, it's so important that we keep that to ourselves and build on it all the time.
I agree 100%. And once you have that person, the lifetime value of that lead is exponential, because you may think like this is another good little thing that I think we were talking about before the show, how much do ads cost, right? So you may get someone as a lead and you spent $10 to get that person. But what are you selling them next? So the lifetime value that you spent to acquire that person, the ROI could be, huge. Even if you're selling something as small as like $97, but it costs you 10 to get them, wouldn't you want to do that? And
Yeah.
most people, right? Most people don't just buy one thing. They buy one service or they start with one product and they quickly upgrade. Or if they see value in it, they bring other people on board. So you need to stop looking at ads as gambling, throwing spaghetti at the wall, praying that the algorithm is going to help you, and look at it at it more as an investment. So you want to look at it, if I put $10 in, what am I getting out? What numbers and what data can I actually track to see where my investment is going?
And I think a lot of people who aren't into numbers, and as a business owner, I suppose we all have to love them, but, you know, being me, I don't like maths at all, and I certainly don't like, the numbers I don't like much either. However, we need to learn as business owners how to track the data that we're getting from our ad spend. Now, how do we go about doing it? How do we understand what all these numbers mean? You know, because for people that are a bit illiterate like myself.
Yeah. So I would say first couple of things is understanding your goal, like I said before. So that will help you determine what matrix you want to track. So if you are looking to get more engagement or awareness, that could be really powerful because you may have already like a following. You could have like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 followers, or you could have like 10,000 followers. I don't know. But your content is not being seen, right? That's a huge problem I see because we're depending on this algorithm and these people. So if you're trying to run that type of campaign, I would look at metrics like your views, your video views, especially if you're running videos, how many people are seeing the video. Then I would see what percentage of people have seen the video. Facebook is kind of nice. When I say Facebook, I mean Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, Meta as a whole, is very nice that you can actually track things like who watched 25, 50, 75, 95%, and 100% of the video. You can also track for who watched the first 15 seconds of the video. That's a through play. Now, this information is really interesting because most of us are making videos and talking heads and we're like sharing our genius, especially if you have a podcast and you're repurposing it. Like you can take little clips of this and like just put a little bit of money behind it and it can be seen by the right people, right? Now, with that information, if someone watched a whole 30 seconds, that's huge. Okay, we live in the attention span of a goldfish. So if someone gave you 30 seconds of their time, they're interested in you. And then they likely went to watch something else and something else. They themselves are warming themselves up for an opportunity, for a sale, for you to solve their problem. Clearly they're interested and they're looking for solution. So I would look at the views, how much they're consuming. I would look at how much it costs you to get them to do that action. So if you're looking for a lead or getting an email or some kind of contact information, I would say, how much did it cost us to get that person? Now there's a couple of things with the lead one is kind of cool. There's things you can do to sort of help it along. One, you can have a no-brainer offer, something that actually people want to grab. So that helps improve the chances that they'll actually want to get it. Two, you want to create really effective landing pages. So most landing pages need to be converting at least 20%. And how you tell that is the number of people that came and saw the ad versus the ones that actually ended up on your email list. And you divide those and you get a percentage. And that percentage will tell you how well the landing page is. If you're not good at numbers, most of your places where your page is built, it will tell you. It's under the settings section, somewhere there in analytics. It's there. Don't stress. I got you. I'm also not great at maths, but I just know which numbers to look for. That's another thing. Don't be scared of the numbers. If your objective is just to focus on growing your email list, only focus on the metrics that will do that. If you are building your ads in Ads Manager, which is where I suggest you do, you can actually, there's a little drop down and you can actually filter the metrics that you see. So you could do like performance or clicks or engagement, and it will show you the recommended ones that you should be looking at. And at any point, you can also hover over it and it will give you a little description of what it does.
Well, this is something I didn't know. Thank you. Because I know.
Anytime.
Yeah, I've been with Facebook since 2009, I think. So, you know, and there have been a lot of changes since then. And, you know, there are more changes in the wind. And it's sometimes hard to keep up with all of them, you know, because they just sometimes just change overnight and you have no idea until you go and do something that something's different. And you know, you've got used to doing something some way and then it's all of a sudden you've got to learn something new. So, yeah. Meta can be a little bit off-putting in that way, I think, and they don't bother trialing things. They just push them out and hope for the best. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Trust me, everything you've said, yes to everything. As a person who works with it every day, I am used to having things done one way and then I wake up the next day and it's all changed. It's the magic that is Meta, to be quite honest with you. That being said, if you find that annoying and you can't find something, what I usually end up doing is I look in the location where it used to be. If it's not there, then I will go and do a quick Google search. If I can't find it, last but not least, Meta does have resources that it can do, that it can help you with. The one fun thing that I think lots of people do not know about is that you can actually schedule a free call with a Meta expert and they can help you. Like, hey, I don't know how to set this up. And they'll guide you through it, like, for free. And that's a call that you can set up. If you're struggling to find something, you can like live chat and talk to them. They can help you with support. So I know it's a lot to take in, but if you just focus on one little step at a time, really, you can do great things.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Now, Carol, what are some tips for balancing that automation so that we get the most authentic lead generation that we possibly can get?
So for me, it's really important that you know your audience. I think that's the biggest thing that people sort of like get wrong, because you know that saying, oh, I can sell to anyone. Oh, I can coach anyone. Oh, my service works for anyone. Well, if you sell to everyone, you sell to no one. So for me, it's really about honing in on one specific group. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to ignore everybody else. Of course not. It just means that for this season or these bits of ads that we are testing, we're going to show them to one specific group of people. So with that in mind, when you create your ad copy, it's with that person in mind. When you create your landing pages, it's with them in mind. Email sequence, them in mind. It has to be very personalized. Unfortunately, we live in a world that has so much option. And I say unfortunately because it's great to have option, but sometimes we have so much option that it actually makes us feel like, oh gosh, I don't know what to do. I wish someone could just help me. Oh, I don't know if this is going to work for me. Oh, I'm so special. This person is selling this. I don't know. It's for me. When you create ads with one group of individuals in mind, they actually feel called out. So if you work with coaches, for example, you could write in your ad copy, hey, coaches, then start your thing. If you work with service providers, hey, person, that way you're calling out your people. You're saying, hey, this is for you. Forget the other people. I know there's lots of cat videos here you want to watch, but this one is for you. Do you mind just taking 2 minutes and just having a look? This could help you. So it's really important, I would say, to personalize and understand your audience, and then go and target. The great thing about Meta right now is they've got so much AI and they've got so much information that you can start off with the targeting. It used to be like really complicated, like you really needed to know every little thing about your audience. But now you can have a general idea. And the easiest way I teach my clients to think about their audience, right? And in ways that they hadn't thought about, just not like they're female, they're coaches, they're this or whatever, they're moms. If you had to tell me how to find this person in a department store, like in a shopping center, where would I find them? You know, am I finding them at like a Lululemon? Am I finding them buying a new Mercedes? Do they shop at Tesla? Do they have a Stanley cup in their hand? Are they at the bookstore? What are they reading? Are they at the dark romance section or are they at the self-help books? I want to know where they are. All these things are helpful because these are things we can target for. And it goes beyond just knowing that the person's a female and they live in America or Australia or the UK. It goes into them. I had one client. This was really fun. When we did this exercise, she said to me, all my clients drive white Teslas, all of them. And I was like, what? That's crazy. That's so crazy. So then we literally added that in as one of the things to target for, Tesla, because clearly there's something in that car, or maybe it's the ethos, or maybe it's, you know, the price range or whatever that attracts her type of people. So think about those little nuances and that will help you to create a better audience, which ultimately will mean you are being seen by your people. Therefore, they will take the right action and move forward in your funnel.
Wow, very great advice. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Because, you know, I have thought about, you know, what type of people do I want to attract? And I've never really drilled down into the fact of, you know, where that if I had to find them in a supermarket or a department store, where would they be? So yeah, that was really helpful. I'll give it some more thought. I will.
Yeah, I'm glad. Tell me what you come up with. That'll be fun.
I mean, you know, people being podcasters, you know, you can find them almost anywhere. So, you know, to describe a podcaster really is not impossible, but it, you know, quite challenging because they come from all walks of life. So you can't really pick one. I think that would be my challenge because you can't just pick a podcaster out from the Tesla range or the Mercedes range.
I would also say if you're looking for more like a service-based business like this or an entrepreneur, I often like to think of like what common things do entrepreneurs use? We all use Zoom. We all have had contact with it. We've all had contact with like a Google Meet or a Gmail or a Kajabi, or we've all know kind of like think of like the software is what I'm trying to say. And those things can be nuances because I use Zoom all the time, for example. I've used Kajabi maybe for myself, for my clients, for other people. So what programs and things like could they be interested in? Maybe it's an accounting software. Maybe it's something that they use every day, like Gmail. I don't know. But those little things could help you pinpoint a specific type of entrepreneur. Maybe they use a certain mic or, you know, I don't know, something, a camera. Don't know.
Great idea. Absolutely. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. And thank you for bringing that to my attention because now I can it'll make it easier for me to drill down to the type of people that I'm looking for. Now, Carol, we can find you on Facebook and we can find you on LinkedIn and on your website at carolcabali.com. And you've also got a quiz that you're offering our listeners today. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it's actually a very fun quiz. I think Rose, you should take it. Like before you go and like do the ads again, I would love for you to take the quiz. It's only 2 minutes long and it's going to help you figure out should you be running ads, what stage you are in, and what support you need to take you to the next level. So it's a really fun quiz. Like I said, it's only 2 minutes long and it will tell you if you should be running ads or if you shouldn't, because I don't want you to take your money and throw it at the wall and then come back to me and say, Carol, ads don't work. They work. Maybe you just weren't ready.
Yep, okay. I'll go and do that after I finish here with you today. Carol, if you were to offer some advice or some words of wisdom to our audience today, what might that be?
Oh, my mantra for the year, if you will, is what you don't change, you choose. And this has hit me like, whoo, this whole year. What you don't change, you choose. And that can be in life, in your marriage, in work, in your diet, I don't know, in your hair. So anything that is you're like frustrated by, are you choosing it or can you change it? And to me, that just felt so powerful. And there's so many things that I've decided, well, I'm not going to wait until, till. I'm going to change it. I'm unhappy about that. I don't like the way that person is speaking to me. I don't like the way I show up. I'm going to change. So, what are you choosing today? And what can you change?
Absolutely. Now, my word this year is empower, and I've decided that I'm going to empower myself. And I mean, I already empower others through my passion project of healing through love. We help domestic violence survivors.
Love
So,
that.
so yeah. So, but I'm going to empower myself more and do the thing. I'm going to change the things that I don't like, and take up the challenge, and you know. Have a better life.
Oh, and thank you for doing that, Rose. Like, we need more people like you who are of service and of purpose. So, thank you for that.
Thank you. Carol, I have loved having you on today's episode. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. And I look forward to catching up with you again. I think we could talk about this almost forever.
Yes, we could.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.